So I would be willing to bet that everyone here, no matter where we started in life or where we've been in life or where we think we might end up in life, has one thing in common. I'd be willing to bet that 100% of us own a welcome mat. Don't you think? I think 100% of us have welcome mats. It turns out that welcome mats fit on houses, and they fit on townhomes, condominiums, apartments. You can even walk down the hallways of the assisted living facilities that we visit. And even though the apartments are indoors and the floors are carpeted, people there will still put welcome mats out in front of their doors, out in front of the doors to their apartments. I need to share with you all in full disclosure that in my house on the front door, we have two welcome mats, one outside the door and one on the inside. So I asked the decorator at my house, who also happens to be my wife, I said to her a couple years back, why do we have two welcome mats? Is it because we want to show everybody that we're like super hospitable, that we're like the most welcoming family in the world? And she said, no. She said, I just couldn't decide which one I liked better, so I put them both down. That's how you get two welcome mats. Well, whether you have two or one, they say, come on in. They say, stay a while. Wipe your feet. Relax. You are welcome here. I dare say that not only have I seen welcome mats all over the world, the truth is that everybody seems to have one because they come in so many sizes and shapes and styles and colors. They send so many different kinds of messages. And even though everybody seems to have one, the welcome mat and what it suggests, what it represents, is something we should never take for granted. Because welcoming others is a fundamental function of hospitality. Whether it's new friends or old friends, makes no difference. Makes no difference. We should remember that ancient cultures had really, really sort of hardwired rituals about what it meant to welcome others, about what hospitality really was, particularly around travelers. Remember, if you were a traveler in the ancient world, there were very few inns or hotels. There's no VRBO. There's no Airbnb. Your life literally could depend upon someone that you had never met before opening their home and taking you in. Just down in the on-point service, I reminded the confirmands of the story of Joseph and Mary. I thought they would know that one, and they did. At least they nodded their heads, eighth graders, like, I remember that. But Joseph and Mary are what in the beginning of the Christmas story? They are travelers. They're going from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and Luke tells us there's no more rooms in the inn. But because the hospitality codes, you can't just turn somebody out in that culture. The innkeeper, according to Luke, makes a way. Yes, it's the animal stable. Yes, it's a manger. Yes, it's meager. But that was the welcome mat he had. And that's the one that he shared. Today, long away from the Gospel of Luke, is kickoff Sunday here at White Memorial. A day when we begin the program year in Christian education and Christian formation, our support groups start back up again, our small groups are beginning again. Kickoff Sunday is one of the days when we try to be at our best, and there has been energy and laughter all throughout this building all morning. Now, admittedly, at 9:30 in the nursery, there were also quite a few tears. I mean, it was pretty loud down there. But there's been energy here, energy all day. Volunteers are settling into their Sunday commitments. Folks we haven't seen since the beginning of the summer are welcomed back. It's when we, this Sunday, put out the welcome mat as a church family. We put out the welcome mat and we look for familiar faces and we hope to see new ones. We put hospitality around here in full flex mode. So today is the perfect day to say hello to somebody you haven't seen for a while, or perhaps meet a new friend. Today is the perfect day to think about the spiritual gift of hospitality and how that gift of hospitality, as it was shared with you, helped to shape your life. Who in the past welcomed you in a moment that you needed to be welcomed? And even further, how can all of us be as welcoming as the nicest people we've ever known welcomed us? That's what we're about on Kickoff Sunday. That's what we're trying to explore. And I would like to invite us to think for just a few minutes about the spiritual practices and the spiritual elements of hospitality. Like, what does it take to be a truly welcoming person, to be a truly welcoming church? Well, here's what you need to know. I think Romans 13 is a good place to start. And the verses that Kate read this morning, 8 through 14, those verses are the thunderous conclusion to one of the most important sections of teaching found anywhere in the entire Bible. But to understand what it's doing, you have to look all the way back to the beginning of chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to make your lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship." What this begins is an ethical exhortation trying to tell them how to do that. How do I make my whole self a living sacrifice to God? And all of chapter 12 and all of chapter 13, the Apostle Paul, the writer of Romans, is trying to tell them how to do that, to get his readers to live their lives in the light of the law of God as an extension of the grace of Jesus Christ. Our preachers in Romans the past couple of weeks have reminded us that these words are not only among the most beautiful in the Bible, but they paint a glorious picture for how we as disciples could live, maybe should live, maybe even ought to live. One thing you need heard, I'm sure, was that Romans 13 closely parallels something that Jesus himself said. Jesus in Matthew 22 says exactly what Romans 13 says as it sums up the law of God at verses 9 and 10. It says this, "Love your neighbor as yourself. For love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Those aren't my words. That's Romans 13, verse 9. I think it's worth hearing a third time. What is the fulfilling of the law? Love is the fulfilling of the law. And it strikes me that without love for other people, hospitality is impossible. If we are lying and cheating and stealing from other people through our way of life, eventually they'll get fed up. And they won't want to be around us. No matter how good your welcome mat looks, if you're a scoundrel, people eventually, they don't want your hospitality. So do right, be good, follow the law. If we are lying and cheating and stealing our days in this world, we will have turned our backs on grace and we will be far away from the words and exhortations of the Bible. Here in Romans, the Apostle Paul is practically begging us to let love rule. Painting a picture which shows us that loving others is indeed the finest way to put a welcome mat out to other people, whether it's at our church or in our homes or even in our hearts. The question is whether or not we really want to engage others, both as a church and as individual families and as individual persons with a posture and practice of hospitality and welcome. I mean, do we live our lives in such a way that people easily see our welcome mats? That they know they are truly being invited into our hearts and lives? What I want you to know is that in spite of the fact that sometimes it can be difficult to welcome others, I fully believe, and I even think the Bible supports the idea that as we welcome other people with new ideas and new inspirations, as we increase the number of other people that we have welcomed into our hearts, the truth is that our lives become richer. They become infinitely richer the more welcoming we are. And so following the law of God is not only good for our relationship with God, it is. Following the law of God, it's good for our relationships with other people. And it's good for the health of this church. Like I said, here at White Memorial, we are trying all that we know to do to put a culture of hospitality into place. We're doing all that we know to do to keep the welcome mat out. And many have responded. Many have responded. If you're here today, you are responding to that call, and we thank you. We do. But I do have to share this. I get asked one question everywhere I go. I even last night at the Appalachian State Chapel Hill football game trying to buy a hot dog so a church member, and I got asked the same question that I get asked everywhere I go. And it was this, "Christopher, how's the church doing?" And I say, "Fine." And they say, no, "How's it really doing?" So I thought I'd share a little bit this morning, just a little bit. I thought I'd issue a call with that as well. First, we have our largest youth and children's choir enrollment in years, well into the low hundreds, and it might continue to grow. Presbyterian Women is vibrant and has plans to grow into the next year. Really, they've got great plans. They'll be working with Ann Gallagher, and they've got great plans to expand their ministry and mission in this church. Down there in On Point in Main Hall, we have our largest confirmation class in the 12 years that I've been here, and it may even be the largest one we've had in decades. Beyond that, we're trying to live into a vision plan. You can remember the name, I promise. It's called Be Thou My Vision. Really easy to remember. And it's really easy to find. It's on the front page of the church's website. And if you want to know where we are thinking and praying about the future of White Memorial, it's there. It's there. And we are trying to enact the things that it calls for as quickly as we can. Next Sunday, we have Get Involved. You can come early and explore ways through different ministries in the life of this church that you can not only get involved, but that you can go deeper in faith and practice with us. Out there on McDonald Lane, we've got banners that use the word engage over and over again. And yes, they're just banners, but we're trying to subconsciously plant in everyone's mind that we should be engaged in this place so that we can be involved and engaged with one another. Soon we are reenacting our Theologian in Residence program, September 29th this month. And before you know it, we will call a new associate pastor for young adults and small groups. And this pastor will help our young adults, which is a fast-growing group in the church, get themselves organized. And even more importantly, look for ways to connect people in our church through small groups of us across every demographic in the life of this church. All of which is supposed to help us draw us closer together and ultimately closer to Jesus. I could go on and on. I could. All you have to do is look at the website or open your Thursday email that we send if you're on our mailing list, or this week you got mailed the White Memorial Word magazine. You can read about all the things that we are doing and about how the church really is in those places. But at the same time, I need to ask for your help with something. And that is our worship numbers, the in-person ones, the number that counts who's actually here on Sunday morning, they have not returned to where they were in 2019. A lot of things have. They really have. But those haven't. And so while we will always stream our worship services, we will. And while we will always have Zoom options for some Sunday school and Christian formation classes, we will. We need your help. And that is, who haven't you seen here for a while? Would you be willing to pick up the phone and call them and invite them to come with you? Send them an email. Say, let's get back into church together. Because we believe we are at our most healthy expression of congregational life when we are coming through these doors together and wiping our feet on a common welcome mat as we enter. We believe we are most healthy as a church family when we are in these places and spaces worshiping and praying and singing together. See, on the broadest scale, loving our neighbors as we love ourselves absolutely means serving those around us who need a helping hand. Yes, loving neighbors is about serving people in need around us. It's about outreach and service ministries, yes. That is very, very important. But it also means making this church family, these walls, as open and welcoming as we can. Whether we pick up the phone and call somebody or not, faith will always be with us. God's love and our faith in God transcend any and every limitation and expectation that we can place upon them. And while faith is always with us, it transcends our expectations. It goes beyond our expectations when we love one another and roll out the welcome mat to other people. It matters more, our faith does, when we put it into practice as we pray for others, worship together, love others, serve our neighbors in need. Romans 13 paints this picture, I'm certain of it. It calls us to follow in the step of God's law, which ends in the rule of love. And that rule of love leads us to the rule of hospitality to others and the great welcome mat of faith. This, I think, turns out to be the best kind of way to live. And if I'm right about that, then that gives us a lot to think and pray about and a lot to do. To God be the glory, friends, today and every day. And may the welcome mats of our lives and our hearts and our church always be ready to be shared by any and all who might be called to join us. Amen. Amen. Amen.
May the goodness, the grace, the peace, the hope, the love, the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and all whom you know and love this week and in days to come. Go from this place, friends, inspired to be of service and use in God's kingdom, serving others in the world. Go from this place, friends, to make a difference, not only in the lives of others, but a difference for the way that we, as a church and as a culture, welcome others into our lives and homes. Grace and peace to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.